Did Cody Rhodes do enough to respond to The Rock? And I know y'all are here for tippy time, but is that problematic? We're going to talk about it. TBT starts now. Welcome to the Talk About Podcast. I'm your host, TW. Listen, I know you have so many choices for your entertainment. So, whoever you are and wherever you may be, thank you so much for spending a few minutes of your day here with me. We're going to have a lot of fun today. We're going to talk about the biggest thing going on in wrestling, obviously, which is this whole Cody Roman Rock thing. We know that Cody finally dropped his promo to respond to The Rock and all The Rock's, you know, disses about Cody crybabies and Cody's mama and all of this stuff that The Rock has had to say. And Cody finally shot back at him, right? Cody finally shot back. But the question we're going to ask is, did Cody do enough? That's what we want to know. We're going to find out. We're going to dive into it. We're going to dig into it. We're going to see what we think. I want to know what you guys think, by the way. So go ahead and drop your comments down in the chat. Get ready to let me know if Cody did enough to respond to The Rock. We also are going to talk about how Roman is kind of overshadowing this whole WrestleMania thing. And that is fun for now, but is that a problem long term? That's another thing we're going to talk about. And one more thing we're going to get into today, and this might be controversial, but I don't care. I know that y'all are here for Tiffy Time. Hey. Y'all are here for Tiffy Time. Tiffany Stratton looks like she's going to be a big, big deal. But is that problematic? Is it problematic that y'all love Tiffany Stratton so much, so quickly? We are going to dig into all that. So get ready to lock in with your boy. We're going to have a lot of fun. And I definitely want to hear everything you think about what I'm saying. So go ahead and drop your comments down below, whether you're watching in the YouTube chat, whether you're catching this on the podcast, drop a comment on the pod. Tweet me, okay, at Talking About Pod. You can email the show at talkingaboutpod@gmail.com. You can also tweet me at my handle, TW Talking About. Tweet me. I tweet back. We're going to get into it. While you're here, please, if you like what we're doing, consider subscribing to the channel, hitting that like button on the video, and hitting the notification bell so you get notified each and every time I drop some brand new fire content on this page. All right. Let's get into it. So this was a much-awaited promo segment on Monday night, right? The Rock has been killing Cody Rhodes. He's been dropping social media promos that are anywhere from, you know, 15 minutes long. He dropped a 20-minute long promo. I think the last one was 8 minutes long. Like, he's been getting his licks in on Cody Rhodes on social media, and then he's been getting them in doubly on SmackDown. The Rock has really been monopolizing WWE TV time to get his shots in on Cody Rhodes. And he has...
acknowledged me!
He has acknowledged the Tribal Chief, Roman Reigns. But we're going to talk a little bit more about that later. But in the process of acknowledging Cody, you know, what has he done here, right? He talked about how Cody basically pump faked on his decision to give up the main event to The Rock at WrestleMania, then come back and he basically went back on his word and then decided he wanted to be the main event at WrestleMania. He talked about the Cody crybabies that made the big difference. Oh yeah, people hated The Rock for talking about that because they felt like that was a personal dig. A lot of people really took that Cody crybabies comment very personally. We saw radio hosts like Dave LaGreca trying to bait The Rock into an appearance on Busted Open Radio. And how did that work out? Yeah, I wasn't sure. But it struck a nerve. It struck a nerve that The Rock was calling out the Cody crybabies, right? And all of these people that are just so seemingly passionate about Cody and Cody finishing his story, right? This has just been such a thing. And so The Rock went after them. He went after them hard. And pause. The Rock. So The Rock went after the Cody crybabies. And And look, like I said, it struck a nerve because you saw all the responses, right? You saw all the responses. And then in this past week's round of The Rock just destroying, flaming Cody Rhodes from every possible direction, he went and talked about Cody's mama. Sir, mamas are typically out of bounds. I mean, look, even in this dirt sheet age of pro wrestling, we talk about stuff that's behind the scenes. We talk about, you know, personal failures, professional failures, you know, things that dig at each other, lift up the veil a lot. You know, even John Cena famously pointed out that The Rock had notes written on his wrist, which I thought was below the belt, but people loved it. People have never forgotten it to this day. So this is an age of wrestling promo in which everything seems to be on the table, right? Everything seems to be on the table. But mamas seem to be that, like, what's the taboo, right? Like, talking about somebody's mama just seems to be a little out of bounds. Now, listen, The Rock didn't, like, talk about Cody's mama. He wasn't like, Cody's mama's so fat. You know, it wasn't like that. But he brought her up, right? He brought her up, and he said, I'm going to walk over to you. I'm going to beat your son in front of you, and I'm going to hand you a belt dripping with his blood. And I'm like, damn, dog, that is cold. Like, that's got to be one of the worst things you could say to a parent, right? I saw a video. My boy sent me a video on Instagram last night of a kid's basketball game where these two little boys got into a little pushing match, right? And then one of the boys' mom runs out of the stands to grab her son away. And then another, it was a parent or coach, somebody grabs the other kid and, like, forcefully, not like the coach was just like, you know, hey, son, let's not play that way. It wasn't like that. He was, like, grabbing the kid. And then the next thing you see is a parent run out of the screen and damn near Goldberg that coach. And I didn't blame him one bit. As a matter of fact, applaud that man, okay? Applaud that man. Because you know what? If I was at a game and somebody tried to handle one of my kids crazy like that, guess what? I'm in the stands too. I'm on the floor too. I'm out there. Listen, you know. So anyway, the point is, as a parent, you ain't trying to see nobody else hurt your kid, right? And so The Rock really, you know, made it a point to say, Mama Rhodes, I'm going to look you in the eyes and hand you the belt. I was like, yo, dog. But when he said, yo, what can I say except you're welcome? I was like, man, look, sir, this is top tier quality heel work, the likes of which we have not seen in a very long time, in a very, very, very long time. And so the pressure was on Cody, right? This week on SmackDown, The Rock did one of his famous rock concerts where he sat down with the guitar. He had guys outside the ring with a harmonica, and they were playing as he would, you know, do his little blues diss on Cody. He said he called Cody a weirdo, said that, you know, Dusty found out that drugs and bad condoms was a bad combination. I mean, The Rock got some digs in, but, like, to me, right, when you're dissing somebody, that's what it's about, right? It's about jokes. It's about, you know, you're making fun of somebody. It's not about really, you know, coming at them personally. And even with the bringing up of the mama, it wasn't like personal, right? Like, he didn't say really this or that about your mama. He just was making fun. But the point is, he got a lot of points in, right? He got a lot of shots in. He got a lot of points in. And what was Cody going to do? At this point, the ball was in Cody's court. And we had to see how Cody was going to respond. Now, here's the thing. Cody has, he's said in a promo at least once before that he was sparing The Rock. He was sparing The Rock from verbal destruction. I forget the exact words he used, but he pretty much just indicated that there's the only reason that he wasn't, you know, destroying The Rock, flaming The Rock to death with a promo is because he has great respect for The Rock and for everything that The Rock has accomplished and everything The Rock has done. To that, I say, boo you, sir, okay? Because this here is wrestling, and wrestling is a TV show. And when I sit down to watch my TV show, entertain me, damn it. Entertain me. I don't care. You throw that respect out the window, okay? So this was apparently it. This was the moment in which Cody was going to step up and get The Rock back for all the insults, right? And so Cody comes back, comes out on Monday Night Raw, had a serious look on his face. He put up a picture with him and his black hair from when he was in Bullet Club in Japan and his black leather jacket with the American flag on the back, and he's looking over his shoulder, and he's just, and he tweeted, "I apologize for what I'm about to say." Then he, when they did his promo shot on Raw before he was getting ready to walk to the ring, he had his dog Pharaoh with a scarf that said, "Rock is a cat." He said cat, you know, because he didn't want to say the other thing. Oh, Cody. Cody, you clever devil. That was good. Rock is a cat. You got him. And so what was the flames, the bombs of fire that Cody dropped on The Rock? Well, he said that The Rock is an a-hole. Got him. He said that The Rock cried to TKO. Oh, man, you got him there. Oh, and then he said, "We don't need you." Yeah, he said, "This house is really great." And then his big grand finale was, at WrestleMania, you are going to be Roman's side chick. Burn. Sick burn. Cody, you got him. You showed him. You really taught The Rock. You flamed The Rock so bad that he's not going to be on TV for the next 2 weeks. Yeah. So that was Cody's big comeback. And my question to the chat is, did Cody do enough in your eyes? And I had to hop on social media because I had to see what people were saying about this, right? And of course, all the tweets were very divided. Very divided. If you've been a known Cody supporter, if you're someone who's been in the pocket of Cody Rhodes and on the side of, "I want Cody to complete this story no matter what," then you were out here talking about Cody just dropped bombs. Cody was amazing. You were all about it. And if you were somebody who thought that, thought this whole Cody crybabies thing has been overblown, and if you're Team Rock, if you're Team Roman, then you've very much been on the side that Cody put out a dud last night. Cody put out a dud. And I got to tell you, I think Cody put out a dud. I just don't think that response was valid considering all the venom that The Rock has brought Cody's way so far in this exchange. I mean, if you look at what Cody had to say, it was a mix of, you know, behind the scenes dirt sheet stuff. "You went and whined to TKO. You said it was going to be good PR for The Rock. You said you need to save us, and you don't really need to save us. Look at all these people here," right? So you go with the behind the scenes dirt sheet stuff. You're an a-hole. Oh, because another dirt sheet report from this past week was that talent has been upset that The Rock has had more freedom to say and do what he wants. And to that, I just have to ask, please tell me, in what job, in what company do the employees have the same rules as the boss? Please let me know, in what world is your average employee who makes up the workforce held to the same standards as somebody on the board of directors? I just want to know, because if you know a workplace that runs like that, send me an application, all right? I want to work there, because it's not true. This is not the case. It's ridiculous to even talk about something like that, right? Again, you got somebody who, whether you like it or not, is a way bigger star than any of the wrestlers who they have right now. It's just a fact. It is what it is. He's got more star power. His name moves the needle more than anybody else they have right now. That's just a fact, okay? It's not even close. So the fact that they give him more leeway to say and do things that everyone else can't do, that makes perfect sense. And here's another thing about all this, right? You gotta dig into this angle of it. So, okay, The Rock has had more leeway to say what he wants. The Rock gets to do more of what he wants. He cuts promos on social media where he uses every curse word in the book. And yes, your average person, Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, cannot do that. But is that wrong? Is that wrong? To me, that's not wrong. You know why it's not wrong? Because The Rock doesn't have to be there on a week-in, week-out basis, right? The Rock's presence is a present. The Rock's presence is adding value. The Rock's presence is adding value to the show. It's adding value to WWE. It's adding value to TKO, okay? They get to push up the prices on the tickets when The Rock is going to be appearing in a particular venue. They're not raising the prices higher just because Cody's going to be there. I'm sorry to tell you. They're not raising the prices higher just because Roman's going to be there. But when The Rock is going to be there, that's a special occasion. I don't make the news, I just report it. But speaking of The Rock being a special occasion, The Rock in this build to WrestleMania has completely overshadowed the two people who are actually going to be in the main event of Sunday night of WrestleMania, which is Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. This is supposed to be about building up to Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. But instead, this has much, much, much more taken on the tone of building up to Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns. This has much, much, much more taken on the tone of building up to Cody Rhodes versus The Rock. And as we know, The Rock is just supposed to be a side player here, right? He's supposed to be a peripheral player here. But The Rock is really doing all of the promotion for this main event. The Rock's promos are the most interesting thing. The dynamic between The Rock and Roman Reigns is something people have been talking about. Whether or not The Rock would take Cody's place is what they're talking about. What The Rock is saying about Seth Rollins is what people are talking about. I mean, like, Roman is little brother so obviously anytime he is on screen with The Rock. And this has been a thing with Roman Reigns for a long time. Like, even when Roman was in The Shield, right? Whenever Roman was in the ring with Dean Ambrose, he would always seem to defer the energy. It always seems like it was clear that Dean was leading the segment and Roman was kind of following his lead. Roman Reigns has become the person that WWE fans see as head and shoulders above the rest. And clearly that's by intention, right? That's by design. And they've done a lot to create that feeling, right? They've done a lot to create that situation where we see Roman Reigns as someone who is head and shoulders above everyone else. They put a lot of bells and whistles around Roman. I was saying this last year when the Bloodline story was at its height. Roman would come out with five other people and they would do all the talking, right? The Usos would talk. And then Sami Zayn would do the Usi. Solo would stand there and look menacing. Then Paul Heyman would talk. And Roman Reigns would drop his trusty, reliable,
"Acknowledge me."
Woo! There we go. And everybody, throw it up. Throw it up. And again, listen, I'm not saying this to diss Roman Reigns, right? I'm not saying this to put Roman Reigns down. But what I am saying is that whenever there are people in the segment with Roman who have real star power, who really shine, who really come off the screen, Roman looks small. Roman looks small. And here's the thing. That's why it was so important. It was so important for them to do that segment in which The Rock said, "I acknowledge you, my tribal chief," and gave him the hug. Because without that, all anyone and everyone is going to continuously do is look at the dynamic between Rock and Roman and ask, when is Roman going to turn on The Rock? Or when is The Rock going to turn on Roman? Because it became clear that this was two people who are positioned as top guys, right? Two people who are positioned as top guys. And so what The Rock did, The Rock deferred and said, "Hey, Nothing to worry about here. Nothing to worry about here. But then immediately, even though his words said, I acknowledge you, my tribal chief, who's been the star of these segments? Who's been the one that people have been looking at, who has been really doing the things that are pushing the promotion for this match? It's really been The Rock. Because if truth be told, if you look at what Cody has done promo-wise leading up to this match, it hasn't been much, right? Like, they sat him down with Michael Cole and just reiterated, this is why the story is important, and my mom, and this is my thing. I'm not making this up, right? If I'm lying, I'm flying, right? The Rock has been by far the most interesting part of this whole thing. And I got to tell you, I think that's a problem. I think that's a problem because here's the thing. On April 8th, The Rock's not going to be here. On April 8th, The Rock's not going to be here. The Rock's going to be gone. Roman Reigns is going to be gone. He might be there the night after because they'll already be in town, so he might not fly out right away. But on April 8th, The Rock's going to be gone. Roman will soon to be gone. And we're just going to have Cody in that title. And then what comes next? I want to know what comes next. Because all of you guys who are crying and whining about Cody finishing this story. Okay, so let's say he beats Roman at WrestleMania. He pins him. 1, 2, 3. Then what? You mean to tell me that you same grown-ass people are going to be happy week after week watching Cody show up with the belt and a tear in his eye and talk about how happy he is to have the title? Give me a break. Give me a break. I don't believe it. I believe it when I see it, but I ain't seen it, so I don't believe it. I think the thing y'all want so much more than Cody to be champion is you just want Roman to not be champion. You want to see that belt get off of Roman? And by the way, I agree. Roman's endless title reign has long since lost interest to me. Like, I don't really care. At this point, like, I honestly don't care what happens to the title. Like, is there a title? Is there a title? I don't know. It's with Roman and Roman's never here. So really, is there a title? If the title's with a person who's never on TV, is there really a title? Great question, right? So I don't know. I can't say I have great interest in the title, but I can say, sure, I'd like to see somebody else have the title, but that doesn't mean that Cody is doing anything interesting. And so here's the thing. If you think Cody is doing something interesting, I want you to tell me. Tell me in the comments, what is the thing that you find so interesting that Cody Rhodes is doing? Tell me. Let me know. This is your time to shine. Drop your comments down below and tell me what it is you love so much about Cody Rhodes that you want to see him do with that championship. I want to know. I need to know. Inquirer minds need to know. All right, so listen, if you like what we're doing here, please consider hitting that subscribe button on the video, or if you're listening on a pod, consider subscribing to the pod. Hit the thumbs up on that video. Hit the notification bell so you get notified each and every time I drop some brand new content on this page. And if you really like the pod, the best thing you can do is tell a friend to tell a friend. Let's bring more people into the conversation. All right, so I want to talk about something else, okay? I want to talk about something that might be a little bit controversial, and I'm going to need you guys to put on your big boy and big girl hats to have this conversation with me, okay? I'm going to talk about something that I know hits a sensitive spot, a little bit of a sore spot with a lot of people. But if you can approach this in a mature way, and I know that's asking a lot of wrestling fans, I know. But if you can approach this in a mature way, then we can have an honest dialogue, right? And help move this conversation forward, because this is a conversation that absolutely needs to be had. And we're going to have it right now. Okay. We're going to have it right now. So here we go. Before I get into this, let me say this. I think Tiffany Stratton is going to be amazing. Tiffany Stratton and the woman who plays Tiffany Stratton, she has shown an absolutely undeniable aptitude for pro wrestling. She has really great athleticism. I believe she was an Olympic level gymnast, or just below. I think she like maybe competed for the team, but didn't make the team. But amazing, accomplished athlete. Okay, she's shown an excellent grasp of her character and of being a heel. And she gets it in a way that so many wrestlers who have her mold have not gotten it, or have taken a really long time to get it, okay? So this is not an attack. This is not an attack, period. But it's certainly not an attack on the woman who plays Tiffany Stratton. I think she is going to be an absolute star in WWE. She's shown that she has the tools, and God knows y'all are behind her, okay? Y'all are behind her, and that's good, right? Those are the tools. Those are the things that she needs, and she's going to be successful, right? Like, barring some sort of major unforeseen circumstance, she's going to be a great success in WWE, all right? But the reason you all love her is a little bit problematic, okay? The reason you guys all love her is a little bit problematic. Now, let's go back here a little bit. This was really highlighted and illuminated at the Elimination Chamber. The Elimination Chamber was in Perth, Australia a couple of weeks ago. And I noticed this on the day before the Elimination Chamber when they did a press conference. And they had a bunch of people come out. I think Bianca Belair may have come out. I think Becky Lynch might have come out. Rhea Ripley definitely came out. And Tiffany Stratton came out. Swig of water for the working man. Excuse me. And when they came out, it was clear that people were absolutely in love with Tiffany Stratton. Yes, it was obvious by the crowd reaction that they were big fans of Tiffany Stratton. She got big, big, big cheers. And this carried over into the Elimination Chamber event. Okay, this carried over into the event. Tiffy time, right? Everybody was, they were chanting, Tiffy time, Tiffy time. And when she came out, she got a huge reaction, huge reaction. And it sure helped that that match was very much set up to feature her and showcase her in a way that, you know, puts her in a great position going forward compared to a lot of the other women. One thing I also noticed on that show, though, was the reactions that talent like Naomi was getting. When Naomi came out, crickets. Oh, not crickets. Crickets isn't fair. But compared to Tiffany Stratton, crickets. When Bianca Belair came out, I wouldn't say crickets. I definitely wouldn't say crickets, but nowhere near the reaction that Tiffany Stratton has gotten. And I gotta ask why. I gotta ask why, right? Like, we can talk kayfabe, and wrestling fans will love to do this, right? Because when a serious issue comes up, people always want to defer to, well, she's something new, or she does these really exciting flips, or she's a really good bad guy, right? Like, people got every excuse in the world, okay? But the reason that y'all love Tiffany Stratton is a lot of the reason why y'all loved Austin Theory so much. Yeah, that's right. Remember about a year and a half ago, right? When Austin Theory had the Money in the Bank briefcase, and y'all just knew Austin Theory was the next one. Y'all knew it. Y'all knew Austin Theory was about to be out of here to the moon. That was the guy. And you know why you thought that? Because you looked at Austin Theory, you saw what you matched as a clone of John Cena, and you said, that's what Vince wants. You thought you knew what Vince was looking for, and you thought it was in him, and you said, oh, this guy's gonna be the guy. But of course you don't say that, right? People don't say that. Instead, what you do is you start making excuses for all the reasons, all of his good qualities, and you start trying to magnify those for why you think he's so great. Y'all did the same thing with Dolph Ziggler. Y'all did the same thing with Dolph Ziggler for years. You looked at Dolph Ziggler and you said, this guy reminds me of Shawn Michaels. And for years and years and years, you guys kept telling yourself, they're not utilizing Dolph Ziggler. He has all the tools, right? And so you're doing it again with Tiffany Stratton. The thing is, the mold that you are looking at and saying that Tiffany Stratton fits is a problematic mold, and we're just going to talk about it, right? Like, this idea, this concept of the perfect white woman, right? Like, with the blonde hair and the pretty face and, you know, nice athletic body, but don't forget the big fake boobs, right? The outfits, got to be shorts with my butt cheeks hanging out. And, you know, like, there's a mold, right? There's a mold. And when you see a woman who fits this mold, you automatically say, she looks like a star. And you say she looks like a star because you've been conditioned by the audience. You've been conditioned by WWE that this is who the audience should see as a star. And we've seen this over and over and over with people that are significantly less talented than Tiffany Stratton. And I don't really say that as a diss to other people. I'd say that just to recognize that Tiffany Stratton has great talent. I talked about this a few minutes ago, okay? Tiffany Stratton has great talent. She has tremendous potential. And I'm not trying to downplay any of that. But the way that you guys were able to just put her as like your top thing that you're looking for when you turn on this show automatically, that's problematic. I got a problem with that. I got a big problem with that. Because from a kayfabe character standpoint, please tell me, what has Tiffany Stratton accomplished? Tiffany Stratton's greatest accomplishment as a character is losing to Becky Lynch twice. That is a fact. Her biggest moments as a WWE wrestler are losing to Becky Lynch twice. And by the way, those matches made her in my eyes, and I'm sure they made her in many other people's eyes too. Again, you can see the talent. She's got it. She's got it. I am not downplaying the fact that she has it. The problem is that WWE has to be aware and has to act aware on what's happening here, okay? Y'all got to stop pushing this perfect white woman mold on your audience. You don't have to say, we love Tiffany Stratton because she's a perfect white woman. You don't got to say that, right? But when she comes out here looking like that and you have her beating people, who's she beating so far? Mia Yim. She's beating Naomi. Who else is she beating? I don't know, but those two really stood out, right? And by the way, that's not an accident, right? The contrast in the viewer's eyes it's a very important thing to create when you're trying to show why something is better than something else, okay? WWE doesn't have to say that Alexa Bliss is better than somebody, but you look at her and then you see what she had the women's championship like five times or something like that. Five times for Alexa Bliss, bro. Five times, five times, five times, five times, five times. Okay. She's had the women's title so many times. That's wild. That is wild. Carmella is very talented. She hasn't had the championship nearly as much as them, right? Liv Morgan, another person. When the people, you know, going, Liv Morgan, Trish Stratus, you know, Tori Wilson, Stacey Keibler. Like, again, this is not to knock what any of these people do well. The problem is that WWE packages and presents women who look like this as being above and better. And again, you don't have to say they're better, even though you allow Corey Graves to call them goddesses and God's greatest creation and all of this stuff, right? Like, by the way, this verbiage gets approved. This verbiage gets approved. If you say it on commentary, it runs through some sort of check, okay? Like, so calling these women these things, have you ever heard Naomi described in that way? Have you ever heard Bianca Belair described in that way? There's been a lot of absolutely beautiful brown and black women that have competed, Asian women, all kinds of women, Latina women that have competed on WWE, and none of them ever get described in the same way that the perfect white woman type does, and none of them get presented as the successes as they are. Now, Bianca Belair would be the exception. Bianca Belair has been presented as an absolutely dominant, successful character, okay? Which is why it is mind-blowing that the audience would be so ready to toss her to the side in favor of the brand new, shiny, perfect white woman. That's weird, and that's problematic, okay? That's problematic. And WWE, this is on you to fix that, okay? This is on you to fix that. I'm not saying don't push Tiffany Stratton. As I've said before, and I'll say it again, Tiffany Stratton has every tool to be a all-time great WWE performer. Her promos need work. But she has the tools to be a great WWE performer, okay? I'm not saying don't use her. I'm not saying don't push her. I want to see her. I want to see her in matches, lots of matches. I want to see her, you know, being great. That's cool. But in order to do that, you better not shrink Bianca Belair. In order to lift up Tiffany Stratton, you better not tear down Bianca Belair. Bianca Belair is probably the one black talent who truly survived the pandemic break glass in case of emergency decision to start boosting black talent. Remember when Bobby Lashley and Big E were champions and Apollo Crews, and, you know, when WWE was hemorrhaging viewers, when they were hemorrhaging viewers, and they decided that this was the time that we want to give black fans something to cheer for, something to get behind. So now we're going to actually boost up black talent. Bianca Belair is the one person who came out on the other side of that still looking good. She came out on the other side of that still looking strong. She's incredibly accomplished. Undefeated at WrestleMania. She's beaten all the horsewomen except for Charlotte Flair. She's got multiple victories over Becky Lynch, who in my opinion is the greatest WWE female superstar of all time. And they had a great program leading into WrestleMania 37, I think it was. And it should have main evented if they didn't have Stone Cold booked for two nights in a row. It is what it is. But the point is, with a character so accomplished as Bianca Belair, fans are still ready to say, I'm over that. Let me see what she's talking about. Let me see what this next girl's talking about. She looks like a star. She looks like a star. And there's a reason that you say she looks like a star. So here's the thing. If you got this star, and you do, in Tiffany Stratton, use her. Make her big time. But like I said, don't shrink Bianca Belair. And if the big thing is I need something new, then guess what? In the chamber, waiting, y'all got Jade Cargill. And when Jade Cargill comes out, she better come out with a bang. When Jade Cargill hits, she better hit the ground with a program that sets her at the top of the card. Because y'all cannot keep doing this. Y'all cannot keep doing this. You have fans who have been watching this for years who are black women. You got fans who have been watching this for years who have kids who are black girls, myself included. And I'm not trying to have my kids watching programming that is sending them the message that in order to be good, you gotta be, you know, you gotta be the face full of makeup, blonde hair, big fake boobies, and your butt hanging out. I'm not trying to watch that. I'm not threatening to stop watching WWE, but I'm just telling you, I'm a fan who cares, and there are many other people who care. And I haven't heard nobody talking about this, but I'm talking about it. I'm talking about it, and we're gonna roll with this, and I'm gonna stay on this. I'm not saying don't push Tiffany Stratton, but we're not gonna be silent about this lifting up of this particular image and the squashing down of the image of other types of women. It's not cool. The time for it has been passed. And this is why I was so bullish on the run that Bianca Belair has been on. Because now you have no excuses. You have no excuses. You can't say that white audiences won't support a strong black character. You can't say that you can't do good stories with a strong black character. You can't say that white audiences won't buy the merch for a black character, because everywhere you go, I see the EST t-shirts. I see the EST ponytails on white girls, black girls, men, everybody. Bianca Belair has broken the mold and you can't go back, okay? And this does need to be said, because as we saw the incident from a couple of weeks ago, at the first chance people get to try and minimize the accomplishment of a black talent, they will take it. At the there was a post, for those of y'all that don't know, there was a post about the WWE 2K video game cover, and one person, and by the way, this is just one person's comment, but I promise you, it echoed the sentiment of so many other people. And of course, they said something to the effect of, oh, you gotta have a black person in there. And that is the way that so many people think. And you can't change what's in people's heart overnight, but you can change what you present on TV. You can change what you present on TV. There's a reason that people look at Tiffany Stratton and say she's a star, because they look at Tiffany Stratton and they see that she is someone who looks like the people you have presented as stars, the Charlotte Flairs, you know, the Trish Stratuses, again, the Alexa Blisses, all of them, the Mandy Roses. They see that she has those characters that fit. Wrestling be damned, okay? Because we can go through the match listing of some of them, okay? Like there are, Charlotte was great. Trish Stratus has been great, but some of those people who fit that mold have been very much not, and have still gotten multiple chances to be on camera, finding anything for these people to do. Host WrestleMania, please. I just need you on camera, okay? You don't have to say it. You show the audience that that's who you view as important. And so with Tiffany Stratton being the latest person to fit that mold, more power to her. I want to see her have all the things WWE wants her to have, but there better be great, strong, black women characters that are getting the same thing. All right. Had to get that off my chest. And listen, I said what I said and I feel how I feel. If you don't like it, I don't know what to tell you. But that's all we got for today. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Listen, this is a fun pod. I love doing the pod. I appreciate all the responses, all the likes, all the comments that you guys drug down below. I appreciate all the tweets. You can tweet me at Talking About Pod. Okay. You can email the show at talkingaboutpod@gmail.com. You can tweet me at CW Talking About. Again, tweet me. I tweet back. Again, please, before you go, hit that like button under the YouTube video, hit the subscribe button so you subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell so you get notified each and every time I drop some brand new content on this page. And if you really want to support the channel, the best thing you can do is tell a friend to tell a friend. Bringing more people into the conversation is always, always, always a big, major help. Thank you guys so much. Until next time, I'm TW. Peace out.